today on Real Radio.
Paul says, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for commanding me to be struck contrary to the law. Whitewashed walls, they look great on the outside, but on the inside, full of hypocrisy. Not that everyone who wears a robe is, but people can hide behind robes. People can hide behind pulpits. People can hide behind Bibles.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Having a Good Argument, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys. Now, Paul is back in Jerusalem and ready for the end of his mission. In Acts chapters 21 and 22, we found Paul dealing with a life and death struggle as he's being attacked by a mob in the temple. At first, he was excited about being back in Jerusalem among his Jewish brethren, but the religious leaders of the temple went into a violent rage when Paul spoke about a faith-based gospel and that the Jews were no longer bound by the laws of Moses. Now in chapter 23, verses 1 through 11, Paul gives his defense in front of the Jewish council, but his message of forgiveness and freedom was viewed as arrogance and pride. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that evil that goes unchecked will harden our conscience. Paul reminds us in the book of Philippians to think only about what is good and what is pure, and when we rest our conscience in the Lord, we have a hope in God's Spirit within us. And now, continuing his lesson called Having a Good Argument, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul says in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 4, I don't even judge myself. Yet am I not justified by this? But he who judges me is the Lord. Isn't that the bottom line? This is Paul's preliminary hearing that God is going to turn the whole tables around. We'll see who's being on trial here. His conscience is clear. Conscience is a funny thing. Remember the cartoon, Jiminy Cricket, the conscience? Little wooden head needed a cricket because he didn't have a conscience of his own. Well, all of us have a conscience. And a conscience is an interesting thing. It's that little voice inside. Sometimes God uses it. Sometimes God doesn't. Your conscience can be so seared with the hot iron, the Bible says, that you can no longer distinguish what is right or wrong. Remember the Bible says that in the last days men will call good things evil and evil things good? Well, the reason why people are going to be able to do that is because their conscience have been seared with a hot iron. They're not in the Bible. They don't know God personally. They cannot decipher who's lying to them and who is not, what is true and what is false. Your conscience is a discerning factor in your heart. But without the Bible, you will be led to the demise or to the plight of your conscience. But your conscience can only tell you about past experience. When we're raising our children, we're instilling within them a conscience. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. But a conscience can never lead you. Conscience cannot help you in giving direction about the future because the conscience only functions off of experience of the past. And a little child who might have stuck their finger in a wall socket, a week later, their conscience says when they get near that socket, don't stick your finger in that socket. That was not a great experience. Don't do that. The conscience says, I'm going to stay away. When the little boy gets spanked for stealing the cookies, his conscience says next time around when the cookies are sitting on the counter cooling off, those little things taste great, but they're associated with an ouchie on my fanny. I'm not going to do this again. That's conscience. But if a conscience is left alone and uncorrected, it will be an absolute terrible thing. It will lead a child into destruction because it cannot lead him. It's only established through experience. But Paul says, it's been my experience of the past. My conscience is clean. God is my witness. Strong things. Jesus said in John 16, verse 2, before he went up into heaven, he says there's going to be a time coming that whoever kills Christians will think that they're doing God a service. That's exactly what Paul was doing in his before Christ days. But concerning the conscience, I want you to write down three verses that are very important. We need to guard our conscience, people. We need to guard them. How do we do that? Well, first of all, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Finally, my brethren, now the Spirit expressly says that in the last days some will depart from the faith." People are going to walk out as Christians and not come back to the Word of God. "They will depart from the faith. They'll be giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. They will have their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Why? They didn't guard their conscience. How do we do this? By being careful what we intake spiritually. Second thing, we need to purge our conscience. Has anybody been sinners in here? We need to purge our old conscience. Philippians 4:8. Listen to this. Is this not anti-MTV or TV for that matter, just about? Listen to this. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think about these things." Can you imagine that being the opening title to a daytime talk show program? I was watching the news last night, and these people are picketing because they're going to introduce legislation, I guess, to come against daytime television programming because it's so demonic, sick, debased, putrefying. And this guy said, "I think it's an intrusion and censorship and all this stuff," which is an absolute lie and a joke from somebody whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. And then they show a clip. And it's one of these daytime programs and somebody's on there. And this lady walks up and just slugs this other lady right in front of Oprah, whoever it is. And down she goes. And the crowd starts cheering. We are an insane society. People don't break up fights anymore. They rush and gather around them to watch. What is wrong with the society? This is a great one. Kids are playing these Mortal Kombat video games and they're just ripping each other up and fighting. And then the little guys put it down and start slugging his brother. And the mother says, "What are you doing that for? I don't understand that. Is there a light not on? Or what? I mean, I like those little video games. What do I like to play? The flying ones. Airplanes. Why? I like to fly. And as soon as I get done playing with that game, I want to go fly an airplane." And you're doing these things about Mortal Kombat. Well, it's conditioning kids in the future to exercise those things, I believe, if they're not instructed. Now, we've all played with games as kids and had things. Did it lead us to a life of evil? Some kids it did. Some kids it didn't. It all depends on the kid being instructed. Are we instructing our children? We need to purge our conscience from what is evil. Paul says, think on these things. The third thing that we need to do regarding our conscience is that we need to rest our conscience in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:16 says, having a good conscience. Is that what you have? Is that what I have, a good conscience today? "That when they defame you and mock you, accuse you as an evildoer, those who revile you and your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame." Is your conscience, is my conscience as a Christian so clear that when somebody says, "Oh man, you are this, you are that, you're another, you're the other," that you're able to just take it because you know it's absolutely false because you have a good conscience? You ever been there when you say something or somebody says something, you hear a conversation and, "Well, you're this. Who told you?" That's a conscience ratting on somebody. "Well, I think this. What about that?" And the guy spills the beans. I was talking to a police officer a couple weeks ago, and he told me he's struggling with this as a Christian. And he went and told his commanding officer, or whatever they're called, he goes, I'm not going to do this anymore. He brought this guy in for questioning. Him and another, his partner, sat him down. And I guess there's this thing, he told me what it was and I forget, where you question the guy and you actually lie to the guy. You tell him, now look, we know that you were there. Your fingerprints are all over the place and somebody said that they saw you. Well, it's a lie, but it's legal for them to do it. And what happens is, the guy told me it happens more often than not. The guy will say, okay, I did it. And they kind of chuckle because they made it up. And he went into his boss. He says, I'm not going to do this anymore. And it's really funny because this guy's got some power and seniority and a witness there at this police agency. And the guy says, well, just keep doing what you're doing and don't tell anybody about it. And he had to not tell people that I'm not going to lie anymore. Weird. Why do people spill the beans? Because their conscience is defiled. They're still carrying around guilt. Paul says, man, my heart's clean. My conscience is free. Time magazine, 1994, the baby boomers, it was stated in there, having given birth to Generation Xers. Generation X is the most violent, hard-hearted generation in the history of America. America's most dangerous crimes are now committed by kids under the age of 19 years of age in America, making it the most violent young civilization in the history of the world as far as human history records it. Proverbs 29:1 says, he was often rebuked, hardens his neck, and will be destroyed, and that without remedy. Hardened heart. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to my parents. I'm not going to listen to authorities. Their conscience will be defiled. And Proverbs 29 verse 1 says that he who's often rebuked will harden his neck and will be taken away. Serious thing. The second thing we see in here in verses 2 to 5 is so important regarding Paul's preliminary hearing. We see some interesting things here. Look what it says. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Why? The guy was probably convicted by Paul's freedom and Paul's forgiveness in his own heart. My heart's clear before God. I have a clean conscience. Ananias was a ruthless man. He leaned over and said, somebody strike that guy in the face. That was illegal. And Paul says, then Paul said to him, verse 3, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Now, we got to keep reading, then we'll back up. Watch this. Verse 4, and those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Paul says, verse 5, I didn't know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. Listen, he knew exactly what he was doing. This is a fantastic thing that he's playing out in front of us. Paul quotes Leviticus, or Exodus, chapter 22, verse 28. Paul quotes the scripture right off the top of his head. Hey, I didn't know I was talking to the high priest, because the Bible says you don't speak like that to a high priest. So, Jack, aren't you saying Paul's guilty? No, I'm saying the exact opposite. Get this. Somebody strike him. That was a command by the high priest. Somebody smacks Paul in the face, just like Jesus did, received, by the way. Paul says, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for commanding me to be struck contrary to the law. How dare you speak like that to the high priest? What Paul says and what is implied in the Greek is fantastic. Paul says in the word no, there's two ways to interpret the word no. When he says, I didn't know, the word can be interpreted two ways. Number one, to be aware of. I was not aware that this is the high priest. Well, wait a minute. Verse 1 said that he looked intently at the group. He knew exactly who was sitting there. The other interpretation for the word know in the Greek is either I didn't know, I wasn't aware of him being the high priest, or I am not going to acknowledge him as high priest. I refuse to acknowledge him. That's exactly what Paul was doing. Paul is saying, I am not recognizing him as the high priest, because after all, everyone knows in here that you don't speak against the ruler of God's people. What Paul is saying is he's not the ruler of God's people. The office is honorable and holy. This man's conduct, is what Paul is saying, is so disgusting and so terrible that I'm not even going to honor this guy personally as the high priest. That's what he was saying. This guy's unfit to be called a high priest by the man's very conduct. That's why he says, God, strike you, you whitewashed wall. Now, what in the world is that? Doesn't that sound great, though, whitewashed wall? It's a graveyard. It's a side or an encasing of a tomb or a tombstone or a stone that's rolled against the tomb or an external tomb itself, painted white. On the outside, it's very white and looks good. On the inside, it's full of rotten, stinking flesh. When Paul says, you whitewashed wall, he said, you rotten sack of bones, dead, death, decaying, worm, stinking bag of rotten bones. I mean, he just let it out and you think, gosh, that's not very Christian. Well, okay. Jesus said of the same guys, Jesus said in Matthew 23:33, how can you escape the condemnation of hell, you serpents, you brood of vipers? Well, gee. The strongest words found in the Bible spoken by Jesus himself is never against sinners. It's against the religious, stuck-up, self-righteous hypocrites. Jesus says, you brood of vipers, you serpents. Paul says, yeah, you whitewashed wall. John the Baptist comes in. John the Baptist in Matthew 3:7 says, you brood of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You slithering snakes. Isn't that great? These guys, have you ever seen these guys? I've seen guys that are close to these kind of guys in other places. Maybe here too, but in other places where they're just so holy. And, oh, no. Oh, never. And we're at the airport in, I forget where, somewhere in Europe, though, and there was this entourage. And this guy's walking in there. And he's got all these people waiting on him hand and foot. And he's got robes upon robes upon robes. His hat, I was watching this, just totally digging it. I'm waiting. This guy's going to go walk right through that customs booth and knock his hat right off his head. Because there's a sign over there, and this hat's like, you know, and he would, whoa, you know, this thing is up there. And I'm watching this thing. It's impressive. And you're watching. And people, this guy walked in and he pulled in his robes and walked so that he wouldn't defile himself getting even near you. And you wanted to run up there and go, mwah! How are you, man? What a great robe! And you could have just, don't touch me! You're going to defile me, you wretched sinner. Paul, Jesus, John the Baptist, whitewashed walls. They look great on the outside, but on the inside, full of hypocrisy. Not that everyone who wears a robe is, but people can hide behind robes. People can hide behind pulpits. People can hide behind Bibles. Tremendous words. Paul judged the priest by the word of God itself in light of his own conduct. Paul's response was a personal rebuke directed at this guy. Tremendous. Powerful. What's going on here anyway? What's happening? Is Paul losing control? It's interesting to me. I think God used him at that moment as a prophet. Because guess what happened? Not too far from this moment here, there's going to be a ruckus break out in Jerusalem. And guess what? Ananias is going to flee to Herod's temple for protection. And zealot Jews will catch him in one of the conduits. And they'll bring him out and they will slay him with a sword because of his evilness. When Paul says, God's going to strike you, you whitewashed wall, I think God used that as a prophetic word of Paul. This guy was killed by the sword. He was so corrupt. What's happening? I think God's fulfilling Acts 9:15, that he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings and the children of Israel. Let's look at the second thing in verses 6 through 10. The second thing is Paul's permanent hope. He's got one, thank God. And do you? Do you and I have a permanent hope? How would you and I have been doing under these conditions? Gosh, we think so far removed. This happened 2,000 years ago. It's like a fairy tale. This is really going on. Project yourself into the word. It's exciting. Look what happens here. But when Paul perceived, now something's happening between verses 5 and 6. Something's going on. Paul perceives, he discerns, he figures out that one part of is Sadducees and one part are Pharisees. Pharisees believe much like what you believe. They believe in angels. They believe in judgment in the end of the world. They believe in God speaking to us. They believe in resurrection from the dead. They believe in life after death. The Sadducees didn't believe in those things. And that's why they were sad, you see. They had no hope of life after death. They were very, very dead in their theology. What theology they had was very strange. And they couldn't stand each other's guts. They hated each other tremendously. And so Paul's perceiving, hey, I detect some Pharisees over here. I detect some Sadducees. Being a Pharisee, I know what they think, and I know what they think, and I know just how to set this bomb off.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Having a Good Argument. Thanks for listening and be encouraged. Like Paul, our future is secure in Jesus Christ. Having a Good Argument is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's an event that we'd like you to save the date for. Our very own Pastor Jack is going to be speaking at the annual 2019 Proximity Conference on Awaiting His Return. The conference will be held on January the 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Calvary Church, Santa Ana. That's in Santa Ana, California. And it's hosted by Calvary Chapel of Tustin. Now, Pastor Jack, as you might already know, is not only the founder and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills here in Southern California, but his teachings are heard globally, including Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, and throughout the Hawaiian Islands. His passion and the subject of many of his teachings is on what the Bible has to say about the end times, which is what this conference is all about. And joining Pastor Jack will be his good friend, Amir Safati. Amir was born in Israel, achieved the rank of major in the Israeli Defense Force. He's also one of the best tour guides in that region. Take it from me. I've been with him. And he's a fabulous speaker. Now, in 2001, he became the founder and president of Behold Israel. That's an organization that provides worldwide, real-time access to news and information about Israel from within the powerful context of Bible history and prophecy. So, don't forget to register for this powerful and very informative event on awaiting the Lord's return, and, of course, the current events that surround biblical prophecy. It all happens January 5th. You can register online at cctustin.org. That's cctustin.org. When you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app to your smartphone or tablet, the Home tab offers what's called Real Life Media. And when you tap the Real Life Media tab, a whole new experience opens up for you. There's so much that Pastor Jack has available. Here are just a few examples of what's currently being offered. There's Real Life TV that has Pastor Jack's weekly video broadcasts. There's Engaging the Culture that answers some pretty tough questions on how to stand for righteousness in this compromising world. There's also Real Life Moments with Jack Hibbs, Real Life Basics for Christian Growth, News Updates, Current Events, and so much more. And that includes our Real Radio daily broadcasts, like the one you're listening to right now. And just in case you missed some previous episodes, you can catch up. So be sure to add the Real Life app to your smartphone or tablet and tap on Real Life Media from our Home tab, or you can also visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.